Come on. Amen.
I was just sitting back there thinking that, you know, we keep saying, wait till James gets back. And I'm thinking, why am I waiting
Come on.
For James to get back?
Come on.
God's been too good.
Amen.
I saw him yesterday. He's already looking too good. So I thank God for that right now. And James can thank him when he gets back. But I just had a kidney stone. God brought me through, and I'm thanking for that. But more importantly, I'm glad to be here this morning where I'm going to hear the word of God, where he's dealt with me time and time and time again, where he's going to increase my faith. He's going to build me up.
Amen.
He's going to make me that much more ready for the journey.
Amen.
I'm counting on it. I'm expecting it. I brought a big cup. I can't wait to hear from God. And I'm hearing from him right now. And I'm going to watch him move today. I'm going to watch him talk to me. And I'm going to hear what he's saying. And it's going to build me more stronger.
Yes.
And I just want to thank God for everything he's
done. Amen, amen, Brother Ted. Amen.
Brother Ted's up.
I got the mic. Sorry. And I'm not sorry. I'm so glad to be here.
Come on. Yes.
I've waited and waited and waited to get here. And I'm glad I'm here. I can speak
God for it.
I thank God for this message. I thank God for this truth. And the songs we sang so much. There's a revelation behind those two songs. A big revelation.
Amen.
Come into these gates. Thanksgiving in our hearts.
More than ever.
I mean, food in the storehouse. All those songs mean so much more than they did before. There's a revelation behind every one of those songs. The two songs we sang, there's a revelation behind those two songs. I was like, I'm wanting to get up. I want to get up. And then Jeremiah took off. I said, Jeremiah, I'm right behind you. I ain't going to let you go by yourself. It's too late an hour to sit down. It's too late an hour to sit back and wait for somebody. James, we'd be fine. But don't worry about James.
Amen.
It's got nothing to do with James.
That's right.
If it took James to get in this position to get us out of it, praise God.
Sure.
God's got him. God's got him. He ain't no worry about him. Don't even think no more about him. He's fine. He's on the way to recovery. God's got him. He's going to see him through. He did that. God may have done that just for us. To get us out of the situation. We're in a rut. Too much a rut.
Are you on the way to recovery?
We're on the way to recovery. We're healed more now.
Amen.
We're getting out of this.
Amen.
We need to get out of ourselves even more. Because how are we going to get out of here if we don't get out of ourselves? Because we are going to get out of ourselves. This is going to drop off. This will be gone. This will be gone. And when we realize we really need a testimony, really do need a testimonies, we need to have it, we'll get out of here too. Because we'll realize, hey, we don't have to be here.
Amen.
And it takes that to do it. We have to get out of ourselves.
Right.
And it's important because that's going to get us out of here.
Amen.
It really will. You have to get out of yourself.
Amen.
And I thank God to be here.
Thank you, Lord.
I am so privileged. I know I'm privileged.
Amen.
Words cannot describe.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want to say I'm grateful to be here. It's been an amazing journey for me, for my family, to go through everything. And the Lord reveals himself in simplicity. And they've said that, and they've said that. And I'm a very detailed person. And to hear how God's been breaking it down all over the place with little things, with big things, about simplicity, the ABCs of it, the 1, 2, 3s, not making it complicated. And at home, when the husband says, it's simple, it's simple. God is simple. And it's never the hard, you know, the hard stuff isn't where God's at. Look at where God is. And that path might be hard to walk down with God, but it is simple. It is simple, and on one hand, it doesn't require a whole lot. But on the other hand, it costs us everything. full surrender.
Amen.
And that it has just been a blessing to finally be back in the house, to be where the anointing is, and to feel that, and to know that God is dealing with me. And it's funny, because when I start hearing words that were preached across the pulpit come out of my mouth, like, if you turn around and you ain't going to do it, just turn around and don't do it. And then I found myself right after I said, okay, you know, I turned around. I'm not going to do this again. Not 30 minutes later, I did it again. And I said, okay, I did it again. Because I said, you know, I threw it away. I was like, I'm not going to do it from right now on. From right now.
Yeah, and if
that's what I have to do every single time until I get there,
amen.
I'm doing it.
Amen. Amen.
Praise Sister Joy, you got a song?
What a wonderful time to be able. What's that?
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
While they're getting ready. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. He said, go ahead while they're getting ready. Oh, okay. While they're getting ready. Well, mine might take. Me and Isaiah was going to do something, so I'll wait.
All right. Sister Joy, then.
It's going to be a busy morning.
You just directed your.
Busy in here.
Praise Him.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, and in darkness night you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Mahal kita, walang hanggan ang iyong biyaya. Buong buhay ko hawak mo sa iyong kamay. Mula sa aking pagmulat hanggang sa paghimbing, aawitin ko ang kabutihan ng Diyos. Ika'y tapat sa habang buhay. Ika'y mabuti magpakailanman hanggat ako ay nabubuhay. Aawitin ko ang kabutihan ng Diyos. Is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Sister Moore, and then Sister Sway.
Amen. Wow. Isaiah's coming. I thank God for the freedom that we have here, the revelation that we have here. We know what we have. And I thank God for how he moves in simple ways, in the lives that we touch, in the places we go, and he is in my hands, he's in my body. Now the preacher said, just the gift is to get on out the way. So that being said, I'm gonna just go ahead and fall into the spirit. Well, I'm in the spirit of worship.
Been there.
That's what he wants real worship.
Amen. I just wanna testify real quick. You know, I'm already. Already. Thank you. I'm already burning. You know, I walked in here burning, but now I'm melting. Because, man, I'm watching miracle. I'm looking at miracle after miracle after miracle. I've been thinking about my oldest boy. He's getting baptized today. Shame on him, though, he didn't tell me, but that's okay, because it's personal. It has to be that personal. You don't. This ain't. You ain't following God because you're following him because your dad follows him. You ain't following God because your wife follows him. You ain't following God because your mom says follow him. You follow him because he said follow him. And I just want to do my part. Let me stop before I fall apart here.
Welcome, Holy Spirit. We are in your presence. Fill us with your power, Lord. Live inside of me. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We are in your presence. Fill us with your power, Lord. Live inside of me. For you're the living water, the never drying fountain, comforter and counselor.
plead control. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Amen. We are in your presence. Fill us with your power, Lord. Live inside of me. For you're the living water, the never drying fountain, comforter and counselor. Oh, just take complete control. With your power, Lord, live inside of me. Fill us with your power, Lord, live inside of me.
God bless you.
I'm going to get Sister Sway up, and then I'm going to do announcements, because I've been trying to do that. Then we're going to get the kids up to sing. So go ahead, sis.
I wanted to come into church today and give everybody thanks. I always say I'm not going to cry when I get up here. One day I won't. For all the sisters that really took care of me yesterday.
Bless her, Lord.
I'm thankful. I mean, a lot's been going on. And this wedding's been a lot. But, you know, we had our ups and downs. Like, and just to know who's really there for you. Like, when we had problems with our first venue, Pastor Moore opened up the church to us. Jay from his hospital bed opened up his venue to us.
Come on. What a body.
I mean, the ladies really took care of me yesterday. And I'm just really thankful. I mean, and Beth, your life will change with this church. I promise that. So I didn't want to ever get up here and take any of you guys for granted, because that real world is crazy. And this church reminds you what's important. And it is my family. And I do believe this is my family. And even my sister that came yesterday, she was just like, everybody is so sweet. Everybody is so nice. You know, and my sister means a lot to me, my only biological sibling. And, you know, and I told her, I said, well, you know, you're more than welcome to come to church if you guys ever, you know, you and your husband ever want to come. But she was just very thankful about what you guys did for me, you know. And I just really want everybody to know that I'm thankful. And I think everybody knows now our venue has changed again. So it's at Jay's venue, and I wanted to thank Jay from his hospital bed and Courtney for opening up their venue to us. I'm very, very, very thankful. Me and Kevin are very thankful. But I just want to thank everybody again.
Amen. We've got a couple baptisms today after service, and then the picnics right after that. So please stay for that. No service tonight. And their wedding is August 18th at 4:30. It's on a Friday. September 9th is the Fox Hollow Rodeo. 10th is the church pictures, and the 29th is the bonfire at Caleb and Andrea's. So go ahead, kids.
I'm sorry, I hope they didn't say that was the last one. I don't want to be out of sync. Okay, I'm part of the last, okay. But I just want to thank everybody. Sway, you touched me so much, because, and like you just said, I can only repeat, your life will never be the same.
Amen.
But the thing that I wanted to say is I don't cry a lot, and I admire the ones that can get out of the way and let that floodgate come. I always say because I had so many boys, I had to toughen up, and you had to get with them. You know, you couldn't cry. They'd have you on the ground every second if you cried over everything. So, but I just really want to thank God. I'm so, 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 so grateful for how he has shown me my family and blessed my family through all the ups and downs. And to me, it was never up or down. It was just the level road. Amen. It's the faith that keeps you stable. Right. It's the understanding of who God is that keeps you stable. Your emotions will go up and down and what people tell you in the circumstances, but you should be solid. I mean, even if you've been here a week, you should be solid. We're standing on solid ground. There's no way that you should hit the ground over everything that happens. Not in this hour. Not in this hour. We have too much revelation. Actually, we are the revelation. You know, when they see us, they see a revelation. Amen. They see the Lord Jesus Christ standing. If you want to see God, you look right here. Right. If you need an answer, you look right here. Because my family already know when they go down, who do they call? Because they know where God is. So the problem was, I didn't know where God was. They were calling me, and I was like, why are they calling me? It's because they saw it, and I didn't see it. But right now, I'm standing here to tell you that I see it. I know who I am. I'm standing on solid ground, and I praise God every day that I can walk through this door. And I just want to sing a hallelujah. And I want to thank God for every last one of these children here. There's a sign that there is a tomorrow. So I just thank God today for what he has shown me. And be present. Be present. Don't let your mind wander when the word comes. Be present. Be right here. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, where you're going to go, what you got to do. You got to hear the word for right now. Take it in. And not only that, do you take it in, you apply it. Brother Dwayne was back there, and he was like, oh, you gotta do it. I said, Dwayne, explain to what is doing it. It's applying the word for this hour. When it comes across the pulpit, it might not even say, thus said the Lord. It might just say, get up out of your seat and do X, Y, and Z. That's doing it. So I just want to thank God. I praise him. I thank God for my husband, a solid rock to stand on. I'm just glorious.
Yes, ma'am. For the words back there, this is tell me about my Jesus. So if you have those words.
Past the point of weary, is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Can you feel that empty feeling? Cause shame's all it's stealing. Are you desperate for some healing? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sin that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. Good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Wipe away the tears, broken dreams and wasted years. Tell the past to disappear. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Mountains that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sin that he can't stay. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. Good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Would take my cross to Calvary. Pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sin that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. Jesus, change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Because I know I was there with the kids. I can be confused for them sometimes, but I've got a testimony. I was just thinking, and I'm going to try to get this out, because you know how we talk about, you know, these songs can be your testimony when you can't get up. And I was just thinking, how many people can say that all their life that God's been faithful to them? And it's just, it's like yeah. such a revelation that, you know, when you think about all the things that God's done for you and all the events right. that he... has put into place just to get you here, to make your life the way it has, and how much power in this revelation and this word has, and how we talk about, like, oh, it's so simple to pick it up, and it is because we have a revelation. It's not simple to everyone else. And the fact that I can just hear it and say amen and let it, and apply yeah. it and let it touch yeah. my life, and it, I mean, look at my life. My life is amazing. I have a beautiful family. And like Sister Michelle said, things of this world, they don't, like, rock me. You know, it's such a wonderful thing to have this revelation. I'm so, so thankful for it. And I don't ever want to be quiet or take it for granted because it's such a beautiful thing.
Amen.
I want to sing Nothing But the Blood, page 141. We'll get him up.
Amen. Nothing But the Blood.
Yes, I want to believe. What can wash away my sin? It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again?
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that it was only by the blood of Jesus Christ that any of us could be saved. It's not by our works or how good we are or what we can bring or what we can offer, but it was your blood. Your blood was the only pure blood. Your blood was the only one that was not born in sin and shaped in iniquity and lied and sinned and was able to be the payment for our problems, our troubles, our sin. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for that payment. Thank you for our understanding to be able to see that that's the only way in. And Lord, as we come this morning, we come in thanksgiving to you for what you've done for us. Ask you this morning to come walk these aisles. I hear you're here. I know you're here. Ask you to continue with the service today. Speak to our hearts, direct it, and keep us in thy will. Touch Jay, touch Trevor, touch Lord Tina, touch the Earlys, touch different ones around the world that has needs that can't be met by man but must be met by you. And Lord, even us in this building this morning, we have needs. We can't do this on our own. And Lord, all we come is do is offer the vessel. Come and just present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. And Lord, what makes us holy is that you've accepted us. You've declared us holy. Now we can offer ourselves back to you as holy as Jesus Christ is himself, because you have declared us holy like he is holy. Lord, take this word that we're about to open before the people. Don't let it just be dead letter, but let the life of the living word come amongst these aisles and whisper in our ears and down into our hearts that, Lord, the word can make a change in our lives as the children sang. Thank you, Father, for all these things. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. I don't know what time it is at this point. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see you all here. It's good to have the visitors with us. And Tommy promised me Wednesday night, he said he was going to come back, and he said, I'm bringing my whole family Sunday. So I see him and his wife and his kids back there. It's good to have all of our visitors here. And it's good to have my sister Nisi here with us. She's the one over there looking like Melanie. Now, just to remind you, there's no service tonight. And after service, immediately, please don't leave. We've got food back there, and I'd hate to try to have to eat it all myself. I'll do what I can if I have to. But please save me from myself by staying for dinner and enjoy the fellowship afterwards. And I don't know, they were thinking about rain, so I think they moved it inside. It's going to inside and outside. So you have a choice of eating inside or under the shelter out there. And usually they throw up the volleyball net and we hurt ourselves out there. But it's good. It's a family time to just be able to come and enjoy each other while it's summertime. And we usually try to do some activities for the church at least once a month. And this is one of those activities. So I appreciate all the efforts that went into that, and I appreciate you all coming and being a part of it. I noticed some of you dressed up in your volleyball clothes. So I got mine. Don't worry. I won't be left out, I don't think. I always bring it with me. But it's good to have you here. So to move right along, I want to have you to turn me over to Mark chapter 2. I want to read a few verses here. And it's good to be able to come and share around the Word of God. Continue to pray for Jay. I'm sure he's tuning in, and he and Courtney, I'm not sure if she's working today or not, but God bless them both. And let's see what the Lord has for us here. Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And again he entered, he being Jesus, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, as it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him, for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the words. I'd like to title this message this morning, The Third Pool and the Little Room. And I wanted to start here with Jesus because, Jesus was an important factor
the important factor in the Bible. And Jesus had to deal with people just like we have to deal with people. Jesus got tired just like we get tired. We almost would think Jesus was a Superman. He wasn't a Superman. He was a man. He got tired. He got on a boat, and they were pressing him so hard that he had to lay down in the bottom of a boat to sleep. He got so mad that he went through the temple with a whip. He got disgusted with his disciples and says, how long will I just have to stay and do this? How long will I suffer you? So he was a man. People almost think Jesus, he did walk on water. As I say, they almost say he walked on water, but he did. But Jesus was a man who suffered the same things that you suffer, who went through. You see, you almost feel like Jesus is a Superman and he couldn't help but to do what he did. But he's not like you because you've got problems, and he's not like you because you got temptations, and he was tempted in every way that you are. If you were tempted by lust, he was tempted by lust. If you were tempted to steal, he was tempted to steal. Anything that happened to you, everybody in this building, everything you were tempted by, Jesus was tempted by. So to look at Jesus and think that he was able to do what he did because he was a Superman, he was a Superman because of what he did. And you're the same way.
Amen.
You are no different. You're a man just like he was. See, people think that he did it all because he was born without sin. That whole thing about him being born without sin was for some other reason. That wasn't even to keep him safe. That wasn't to keep him saved. That was the only way that man could be brought back to God, was by a sinless man paying the price at Calvary. But as far as life, as far as hunger, as far as getting tired while he walked, as far as getting sleepy, he's just like you. When you get sleepy in church, he did the same thing. Don't think you're unique. You're not unique. But he put up a fight. He was a man like us. And we always try to make him up here and us down here. He is your elder brother. He's going to be our elder brother. He's not going to be something that we're not. He's going to be just as you are. But the thing is, he put the word first. That's the key. What made him a Superman was that he put the word first. What makes you a Superman is you put the word first. When you put the word first, it'll change your life. When you put the word first, it'll make you do things that you don't want to do.
Right.
When you put the word first, it'll stop what it wants to stop. Amen. It'll start what it wants to start. Amen. You'll walk in the word of God and follow the word of God to the letter.
Right. Yes. Amen.
And you'll be super.
Right. Yeah.
But not because of the way you were born.
That's right.
We were all born the wrong way.
That's right.
But we can't all be super. And here Jesus was. He was in the middle of his pools. He had three pools to his ministry. And this was one of the first pools here. And what the first pool is, that there was an attraction that drew people to him. And remember, as he had three pools, so do you have three pools. So does every ministry have three pools. And the first thing that happens, and Brother Brown talked about the attraction on the mountain. You know, what was the attraction? It was Jesus on that mountain.
Right.
When Jesus went around, he drew a crowd. That was his first pull. He had signs. He had wonders. The man of the palsy. There were so many people following after him that they had to actually cut a hole in the roof to get the man in there to him. Because Jesus had so many people around him. And that's the way it is with the first pool. People love the first pool. In the first pool, it has ministries. In the first pool, it has healing. In the first pool, it has signs and wonders. In the first pool, you get loaves and fishes. They feed you. We're going to have a cookout after church today. If I announce it to the whole world, this place could be packed because everybody loves a good meal.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Come on, eat, man. Everybody.
See, everybody wants a good meal. Everybody wants to be patted on the back. Everybody wants to be treated nice. That's the first pull. That's a drawing tool. And when people are looking at you, the first thing that draws them to you is that you're different. There's something about you. You've got God in you. And when they run across you, they run across God. And they don't even know what to call it. They don't know what it looks like. They don't know what God looks like. People do not know what God looks like. They look at Jesus. They look at Hoffman, head of Christ. And they think that that's God. And they think that that's what God looks like. And then when they read the Bible, they think that Jesus was this level-headed, level guy. Never got upset, never had an issue, just walked. He didn't even hit a bump. He just sort of, his feet didn't even hit the ground. We think his feet didn't even hit the ground, just sort of glided. That's the way we look at Jesus. But Jesus was just like you. When the hill came, he had to climb it. He got up to the Mount Transfiguration by climbing the mountain. He got through problems the same way you get through problems. But the first pull pulled people to him. Yeah. What draws people to you is they feel and they know that there's something about you that's right. different than everybody else. Right. You walk different. You talk different. Right. You look different. And you're kind. You're loving. You're patient. You're helpful. You do all these things. Right. That draws people to you and they want to get around you because they know that you're special. Right. But they don't know what makes you special. Right. They didn't know what made Jesus special. What made Jesus special is that God dwelt in Christ. It was God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So that's what drew the people. And that first pull drew the people. The first pull will draw the people to you. And they'll come around you and they'll love you and they'll like you and they'll do all these things. They love Jesus in that first pull. But then that first pull in all of it. I told you there's three. See that, and I'm putting this on the fast track here, people. They said to three, so I'm already moving to the second. So that first drew people to Jesus. The first pull will draw people to you. So if you go over to John chapter 5, I want to show you his second pull. John chapter 5, verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole. Because see, Jesus healed him, but he didn't know who it was that did it. And the Jews come and ask the guy, say, Hey, who healed you on the Sabbath? I said, I don't know. So then when he went to the temple, he saw Jesus. He said, Hey, there's a guy right there. I know who it is then. So then the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus said unto them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Whoa! 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 Wait a minute. What happened to the party? What happened to the fishes and loaves? What happened to the healings? Everybody loved Jesus. Everybody wanted a part of Jesus. Until the second pull came. And when the second pull come, see, the second pull is when the word starts coming forth. People like it when you feed them. People like it when you heal them. People like them when you open their blinded eyes. People like it when you raise the dead. They like those things. But Jesus got he got to a second pull, and when you get to the second pull, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's when people start walking out on you. That's when people start turning away from you. That's when people don't want nothing to do with you. See, it was the same Jesus. He didn't change. It wasn't him who changed. All he did was moved into his ministry. And when he started preaching the word, see, the thing that people don't like is the word. They love signs and wonders. They love the first pull. They love all. They'll flock your church. You watch them. They'll fill the coliseums. Yeah. I call them coliseums. Right. They'll fill those coliseums up with people. All because they're getting treated nice. They're taking care of them. They're being blessed. They're being told they're good. They tell them a lot of social, religious gospel, and they'll tell them how to get rich, and they'll pat them on the back. And when they walk out of church, everybody feels great about it. But sometimes when I walk out of church, oh, I feel great, but I feel like I got something to do. Amen. God's rubbed me the wrong way. God told me I wasn't ready for the journey. God told me I could pick it up. I need to straighten it up. I need to slow down. I need to see, this is the house of correction. When you get into the house of correction, God's going to correct you. If you come to the house and you don't want to be corrected, you're in the wrong house. You want to go somewhere else. Go to Kroger's. Go to somewhere else. But don't come to this place, because you're going to be corrected, because the word always corrects the error. And we're full of our own thinking. We're full of our own tradition. We're full of I don't care how good you think you are. You are full of tradition until the word crosses your path. And when the word comes across your path, you got to do something. You got to either take it in or it's on your hands. And see, the bride of Jesus Christ will always take in the word. She may not even be able to match it, but she knows it when she hears it. She knows it when it's the truth. Oh, I never walk out of here saying, oh, that ain't the truth. I always walk out of here, Lord, I can do a better job. Lord, let me move it up a little bit. Lord, you corrected me today. Thank you, Lord, for correction. But here Jesus was confronting their traditions and their ideas, and they didn't believe in healing on the Sabbath, and they believed in all those laws and rituals, a bunch of traditions. The church is full of traditions. They got all this stuff they got to do. They got a certain order. They got a certain way they got to do things. But God wants you to be free. He don't want you to be bound up in some law or some form of godliness. Jesus told them that you deny the power thereof. You want your doctrines, you want your traditions, you want all the stuff that the church world throws at us all the time. They can tell you what he said in Greek, Latin. They can tell you what he said in that Bible. They can read it from Genesis to Revelation, but they don't have a revelation or understanding of what's going on in that book. That's why we got churches everywhere. There's churches on every corner, at least one. And then you go in there, and they'll pull out their candles, they'll pull out their lanterns, they'll pull out their smoke, and they'll do a big show, and it looks good. It looks a whole lot better than what you're getting here this morning. And it looks like a big production, not like you got this morning. But when you get finished, you walk out of there just as empty as it was when you walked in. But I'm not looking for a church that's going to make me feel good. I'm looking for somewhere that I can go and I can hear the word of God. And it takes more than the first pull to be able to find out what God's saying. God's not even talking to you in the first pull. He's just doing signs and wonders. He's drawing you to him. He's just showing you the fishes and loaves. He's just putting it out there so that you can say, you know what? That had to be God. When Gideon went to fight, God told him, said, take half of your soldiers, take them down to the river, and I want them to drink, because you got too many men. And you got so many men that I won't get any glory out of this. And when they got down there, and Gideon's guys got down there, and they cut the group in half. They make the numbers smaller. And they made it small enough that Gideon got nervous. He's like, hey, we've got to go to battle. And we don't have nobody to go to battle with now, Lord. And God's like, that's all right, because I want the glory out of this. See, the thing is, God will do what man can't do. And that's what shows him off. When you get in the middle of a situation and you don't know how it's going to work out, and you're trying to get answers and can't get answers, and then Jesus came. And then he does what he does. And next thing you know, you got answers. Next thing you know, everything settles down. Next thing you know what's going on, because God talked to you. And then now you're in a place where you're like, oh, man can't do this. This had to be God. God comes through here and he reads everybody's mind. And I'll get up and I'll be preaching right to you, and I don't even know you. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you're going through. But then you'll sit there and you'll have to say, oh, that's got to be God. Because nobody can know this about me except for God. And here he's up here telling everything about me. That's the way God works. But we don't even know how to look for God. We look for God in the shiniest. We look for God in the biggest. We look for God in the numbers. We look for God in all the traditions and all those things. And here Jesus was with no traditions, no ideas of his own. He didn't match nothing that they offered. Jesus, when he got hungry on the Sabbath day, he went and picked corn. Now we say that's common sense. But they had so much tradition that they would starve rather than pick corn on the Sabbath. And Jesus was like, if you're hungry, get it. Because Jesus wasn't worried about the tradition of men. But they were, and it made them so mad because Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. Now, why would anybody be mad about a healing any day of the week? But it meant more to them to have the tradition, the law, than to see the miracle of God. So when God did it, a lot of them just saw him breaking the law. But the few that really could see God saw God created eyes in a man who could not see. That's how our traditions have blinded us. We got so many laws and so many traditions, and we got to do things. And I'm already breaking law. I should be behind the pulpit. Right. You shouldn't be standing out there. Didn't you learn anything at seminary? No, because I didn't go. Amen. That's where they pump you full of laws. Amen. But Jesus got to his second pool. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to be up here alone. I'm going to surprise y'all. Jesus got to his second pool, and he started preaching. And see, nobody cares about the healing, but when he started preaching, the preaching made him mad. The preaching got him upset. He preached, and he told the 70, and he was out. He had a good congregation. He had 70. He had 70 out there with him, plus his disciples. That's all, at least I know he had that. At least he had 82. And he's preaching away. And Jesus looked at him. He said, unless you eat my flesh, unless you drink my blood, you don't even have the life of God in you. Right. Why, those Sadducees and Pharisees got upset again. Yeah. Here he is again. Not only did he heal on the Sabbath, not only do all this stuff, but now he's telling us we got to eat his flesh and we got to drink his blood. Why, this man, he must be a vampire. Something must be wrong with him. But Jesus knew how to talk to the people. He knew their traditions. He knew the Jews don't handle blood. It's against the law. So he took what he knew was going to make them mad and threw it at them. And the disciples said, Jesus, what are you doing? Those 70 Sadducees and Pharisees, those church people. Because see, people are churchy. With their religion, they're churchy. And Jesus looked at them and he preached to them and said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink my blood, you don't even have no life in you. And the 70 said, I'm out of here. And the disciples like, Jesus, you've offended them. Jesus. See, when the word comes forth, that second pool, when that word comes forth, it doesn't matter who you are. See, I'm preaching. I don't know where y'all are at. Some of you might be happy. Some of you might be mad. Some of you might be trying to figure out how to get out of here. Some of you trying to think how to get him closed. Maybe if I don't say amen, he'll get quiet. Maybe he'll wrap it up a little bit. But I ain't through yet. I ain't through yet. I'm still on second pull. I'm still making the devil mad. When I preach the word, that takes the devil and puts him on notice that the word of God is here. The word of God is in skin. The word of God is right amongst you. And you got to be able to recognize that it's God's word in your presence. The 70 said, oh, we don't want nothing to do with that. Jesus looked at the last 12 he had. Show you how Jesus doesn't compromise. He looked at the last 12 he had. He said, hey, there's 70 going out to the Duffs, going out to go to Corral. Y'all want to go too? Jesus wasn't worried about it. See, when you get to that second pool, it's not about friendship no more. It's not about trying to pat you on the back. It's not about trying to make you comfortable. Matter of fact, when the word comes forth, it should make you uncomfortable. Because you should examine yourself to make sure you are in the faith. Make sure you got it right. Make sure God's dealing with you. And when God is speaking, and he is, when God is speaking, you should examine yourself and say, Lord, where am I? He said to the 12 that were with him, you want to go with him?
Right.
You can go. I can do this by myself. I don't need you. And that's what happens when the second pool comes. That word comes forth. And when the word comes forth, then everything else just settles down.
That's right.
I don't worry about y'all offering. I don't worry about y'all's tithes. If y'all going to cut your offerings and tithes off, that's okay. I don't worry about that. I don't worry about your friendship. I got some good friends in here. I've been going to church with y'all for 40 years. Some of y'all for 40 years. I don't worry about that. I don't watch what I preach because I want to make sure Don doesn't get upset because he's my good friend. Matter of fact, John told me I get him harder than anybody. He's my good best friend. And if you walk with me, you're going to walk with me. If you're not going to walk with me, then go walk with somebody else. But if you're going to be with me, you're going to be with me. I don't want you half-stepping. I don't want you half-believing. I don't want you to half-live this thing. I don't want you to have, well, I like the world, but I like God. I like the world, I like God. All or none. All or none. God told me I can't even deal with the world. And you can't deal with the world. Separate yourself from the world. That's the second pull. That's when the word comes forth. That's when you start checking yourself. You're like, am I smelling like the world? You know, whatever you stand close enough to, you'll smell like. You know that? It'll get on you. If you stand too close to trash, you go in a building that's got a bunch of trash and you hang around there all day and then go home. Your wife's like, whoo, where you been?
You're right.
So if I look at you and I see too much world about you, then you've been standing too close to the world. You come in here looking like, well, coming here looking like the world, smelling like the world, talking like the world. I used to get on the Copeland boys because they used to try to be cool. They're young. They were cool. And they try to talk all like the west side of Dayton. And I'd tell them, I'd say, y'all, stop it. I said, y'all off the west side of Fairborn. Because trying to fit in the world. You know, we do that. We try to fit in with the world. But you need to let the world see the God that's in you. Because that's all that's going to help them. It's not going to help for you to be like them. It's going to help for them to be like you.
Amen.
You have a future. They don't. So when you get to the second pool, that word starts hitting home. That word starts hitting. Jesus got to a point, he didn't have time to dedicate babies. He didn't have time to go out here and play games. And he didn't have time to heal the sick anymore. He knew he only had 3.5 years and he had to get with it.
Right.
So he got up on the mountain, he started preaching to them. He went to the valley, he preached to them. He started preaching, and the more he preached, the more people left him.
That's right.
How do you know you had a second pool? People leave you.
That's
a real good sign. Because people hang around as long as you let them hang around. When you let them do what they want, when you let them keep their tradition, I tell you, y'all can't keep your tradition here.
No.
I tell you, you got to die to yourself.
That's right.
Paul said we got to die daily. We got to lay our thinking down and pick his up. And when you pick his thinking up and lay your thinking down, you'll be closer to Christ.
Amen.
Every time you come to the house of God, you should be laying something down.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And you then pick something up.
Right.
If nothing else today, you say, you know what? When I got out there, I was like, you know what? I got my own tradition. I got to lay some stuff down. I got to start listening to God closer and find out where I'm at with Christ. When he tells me to do something, I want to do it. When I like Isaiah, what he said. It's funny because Micah caught me in the parking lot after church Wednesday night. He said, you think you're going to be able to have time to baptize me? I'm like, whoa, hold the phone. Have time. I said, surely, yes. Yes, you will do that. And I was so excited about it, and I went home and texted Isaiah, and I told him about it. Well, I was just agreeing with Isaiah because I thought that was good that him, you know. I was just like, what? He didn't even check with his daddy. That's good. That's a good sign. because that means I'm doing this for myself. I'm not doing it for nobody else. I'm not doing it because daddy's forced me to do it. And I said, that's good. I like that. See, when you hear the word of God, you act upon the word of God for yourself. You might be sitting with your spouse and your spouse might say, oh, I don't like it. But you, that's you. When I come here with Clarice and Nadine, God told me this is your house. I said, this is your home. I said, okay, Lord, let me wait until after service and I'll check with Clarice and Nadine and see what they're going to do. He said, I said, this is your home. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll let them know I'm not going back. But see, when God talks to you, the seed of God will hear the word of God. I don't worry about the seed of God going away. They will hear the word of God. And when you hear the word of God, it'll be different than anything you've ever heard. It'll have a certain sound. It'll be a sound that you've been looking for all your life and didn't even know you were looking for. When I found this, or it found me, I didn't even know I was looking for it. I heard the word of God. I heard the second pull going forth, and it drew my attention, and it caught my eye, and it caught my heart. And I said, I never heard anything like this in my life. I've never been anywhere like this in my life. And I took it, and it's never been the same. But that's the second pull. That's the word of God working you over. That's the word of God doing something to you. That's the word of God taking your life. And see, when you hear the word of God, it will change your life. Those young people sang it right. Let Jesus change your life. He will. He'll change everything. He'll change your desire. See, God changes desires. The denomination, the church world, they change from the outside in. They tell you, you got to come here. Stop dressing like that. You got to dress like this. You got to believe like this. You got to say it like this. You can't do this. Can't do that. Can't do this. Can't do. They give you so many lists of things that you can't do. I'm like, just give me what I can do. Just tell me what I can. It'll save you a bunch of time. Because if as long as you give me this whole list of all the things I can't do, and I ain't going to be able to keep it. Just get to the flat bottom line. I'm a bottom line kind of guy. Just tell me what I can do. And I'll take it from there. But they'll say, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt. They give you the Ten Commandments. Then he added on to those and then all this stuff. And it's like, Lord, have mercy. I couldn't live this if I wanted to. And I tried. I tried to live this thing. I tried to do it myself. But see, that's the problem. When you hear the word going forth, if you're a believer, you want to believe the word of God. You want to live this thing. You love God. And you're just trying to find out, Lord, what do you want from me? I'll give it to you. Just let me know what to do. That's why I don't fault people from going to different churches. People go to church to be better. It's not the people. It's the teaching. It's the dogmas. It's the tradition that God doesn't like. The people go to all walks of life, all kinds of churches because they want to better themselves. They're good in heart. They mean well. That's why I don't look down my nose at anybody at any church and saying, oh, well, they can't have that, or they can't do this, or they can't do that, or this person's not as good as me. Or no, we're all trying to serve God. I'm just blessed to know what the word says. I'm just blessed by God to be right where he is. You know, there's a lot of people that met Jesus and a lot of people that heard about him. I was one of the ones who met him. Makes a difference. That's the second pull. It's something that when the word comes forth, it separates. It'll separate families. It'll separate spouses. It'll separate boyfriend, girlfriends. It'll separate siblings. And I'm not talking about divorce. I'm talking about one could receive it and the other one can't. One can see it and the other one can't. And when the one can see it, try to tell someone who can't see it. See, unless you can see this for yourself, you can never explain it to anybody. Now that's the third pull. And that's where we're going. I didn't think I snuck that in on you. That third pull. That third pull is different than the first and the second pull. The first pull draws people. Second pull drives people. They run away from it. But the third pull is a little different. Third pull is something that everybody can't see. Third pull is something that everybody can't take part in. Acts chapter 2. Do you know chapter 2 was the third pull? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. There's your third pool. If you want to find a third pool, find people that got the same mind.
That's right.
One accord. They're all alike. I said they look alike. I said their mindset's in the same place. Everybody that made it to the upper room, that 120, there was 120 people that were there. All 120 got a personal invitation from Jesus Christ. Did you get that? You can't even partake in the third pool without a personal invitation by Jesus Christ. See, it's and like Don just said, unless the Father draws him, you can't come. No man can say that Jesus is Christ except for by the Holy Ghost. Everybody says Jesus is Christ, but they don't know what they're talking about. So here this third pool is. You have to have a personal invite for Jesus Christ to give you the third pool. Do you realize that's where predestination comes in? If you're not predestinated, then you can never pick it up. You can't get this because you're smart. You can't get this because you're holy living. You can't get this because you've had signs and wonders. You must be personally invited into the third pool by Jesus Christ himself. No other way. I could preach till I'm blue in the face, but if you're not predestinated, you won't get it. That's why I can't worry about whether you come to church or not. Because if you get the third pool, you will come. Because that'll be a personal invite by Jesus Christ. But if I have to pull you, if I have to pry you, see, I might pull you on the first pool. I might pull you on the second pool. But on the third pool, I'm pulling nobody. I can't pull you in here. I can't even give you the new birth. As much as I want everybody in here to have it, only the predestinated seed of God will pick this up. Only the predestinated God of God will go all the way. Everybody else will get tired. Everybody else will have the signs and wonders. And then when they get to the word, that word's going to drive them away. They will never get to the third pool. Everybody that falls away by the end of the second pool. Because they're not even invited to the third. There's a personal invite by Jesus Christ to the third. When they got to the upper room, they were in one mind. See, that's why you can't sit out here and just because you know a lot of message, just because you know a lot of scripture, that don't mean nothing to me. That don't turn me on. Because you might not know a lot of anything, but make it to the third pool. You may only have one scripture that God reveals to you. That invites you to the third pool. I'm not dazzled by your knowledge. I'm not dazzled by your reading. I'm not dazzled by how much you know the Bible. Brother Brown said it's not about how much you know the book, but it's how much you know the author. If I know the author, he can tell me anything I want to know about the book. So when I'm dealing with people in the third pool, these are only people who were invited by Jesus Christ himself to the upper room. Nobody else up there. All 120 were believers. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a ready, rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared upon them clothing tongues like as a fire, as it set upon each of them. See, every one of the 120 had their own personal revelation. That pillar of fire broke itself up in 120 pieces because it's an individual thing. If he's talking to us in here today, he's breaking himself. He's here. He's here. He's in this building. He's dealing with us. He's breaking himself up, going all over this place. And what he did when he broke himself up to that 120, he revealed himself personally to them. Each one. Peter wasn't the only one. The pillar of fire didn't just sit on Peter. Peter had to get it just like everybody else. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to sit up in the upper room like everybody else. She didn't get excused because he was born through her. She had to go to the upper room. Mary Magdalene had to go to the upper room. All the disciples had to go to the upper room. And out of all of his preaching, There's only 120 that really believe Jesus. You think you got something by having a big denomination. You think you got something by having 5,000, 10,000 gathered. You ain't said nothing. Jesus himself only got 120. He fed 5,000. Where were they? He fed 4,000. Where were they? He opened the eyes of the blinded. Where were they?
Amen.
When it comes down to the third pull, it's only a personal invite. You are here today by a personal invite by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he's in this place. The pillar of fire is in this place. He hovered over them, over every last one of them. And he start revealing himself to each one individually. Just like he's doing here this morning. He's dealing with you as an individual. He's talking to you as an individual. He's breaking himself up to you as an individual. And you're sitting there, and you may not have ever heard this before in your life, and you're sitting there saying, that makes sense to me. Why does it make sense? He's on you. He's on you. Let him in. The 120, let him in. Don't fight him. Don't try to hold your thinking. Don't try to hang on to your tradition. Let go of your tradition and pick up the Word of God. What you're hearing this morning is the Word of God. And all you got to do is hear that and say, you know what? That is nothing but the truth. You don't have to drop nothing. You don't have to give up nothing. You don't have to do nothing. Just take him in. And you keep taking him in. Every time you hear the Word of God, take him in. And every time you take him in, he'll change you. Oh, yes, he will. You will never be the same again. He'll change your life, but he does it because you've been personally invited into that little upper room.
That's right.
That little room there, that 120 was sitting up in there, and they still have it over there in Jerusalem. People go and visit it, but that's all right. It did its job then.
Yeah, that's right.
But when they did this in the upper room, it was a secret occurrence. Nobody else knew it was going on. It was not a public show. They didn't know what was, they didn't know they were up there. They didn't know that God was personally dealing with them. Just like us. Church world don't know what God's doing here. They look at this little church and say, y'all ain't nothing. Y'all ain't nobody. We got the Pope. We got the priests. We got the bishop. We got elders. We got preachers. We got pastors. We got bishops. We got all this stuff. We got the big shots. What do you got? Nothing. I got 120, and we're all in one mind, and we're all in one accord, and we're sitting there in the upper room together, tarrying, waiting on the Lord. Every time we come here, we're tarry. Every time we come here, we wait on the Lord. Then the Lord starts dealing with us. He starts talking to us. He starts singing to us. He starts testifying to us. He starts preaching to us as an individual. That third pool is not a public show. When it happens to you, you can't even explain it.
No.
As much as Peter tried to explain it down there, when he walked out of there, I can go on down to Acts 2:38. Peter tried to tell him, hey, this is that was prophesied. I could tell the world today, this is that was prophesied. And the world won't believe it. They won't listen. Who are you? You ain't nobody. That's exactly right.
Amen.
I'm a son of God.
Amen.
So that third pool was not a public show. It was a personal invite by Jesus Christ himself. And only those who are invited by Jesus Christ can even receive the third pull. The third pull does many things. And here I'm going to read this where Brother Branham said Jesus' ministry, when he was healing the sick, he was wonderful. That young prophet of Galilee, why? He made the blind to see. He even raised the dead. We've got three cases of it. He actually raised the dead. See, people were glad. They were glad to see it happen. And they all believed he was of God. That's what Nicodemus said. We know you're of God. See, they knew it. They knew he was different. They knew he was of God. They just didn't like what he had to offer. And see, if you're not a believer, you won't like what I have to say. Because you say, well, you need to back off. No, I don't need to back off. You need to back off. I got the word on my side. What do you have?
Amen.
Tradition and dogmas. Jesus said, by your own tradition, you made the word of God of none effect.
That's right.
The word can't even help you when you hold on your ideas.
Right.
You've got to lay them down and let God have it.
Amen.
He said the second was rebuking the organization and prophesying. what they had done, what they were, and what was coming, and what it is, and will come, and what it was, and what will come. That's what he's done. Is that right? That was the second pool. But his third pool, when he preached to the lost, couldn't even be saved. Now, the third pool does many things, and I got them here. On my fast track, I'm going to just probably tell you about them. But it does many things. And Brother Branham was telling us that that third pool preached to people who could not receive it. Think of Noah. Noah had three pools. Noah went and preached to the entire world. Hey, come and get on board. I got a boat here, free of charge. Flood's coming. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. All you got to do is get on board. They said, Noah, we don't believe it. His first pool was building the ark itself. And the invite. But in 120 years to getting that ark ready, he preached. That's his second pool. And everybody could hear it. And everybody knew it. But then there came a third pool for Noah. He went in the ark. They didn't know who closed the door. They thought Noah did it. They thought that stuck-up Noah, he done gone in that hot boat, closed the door, and won't let nobody in. They thought it was Noah. They were happy about Noah. They were mad about that. They thought, well, that man, he's just crazy as he could be. And Noah sat in that ark. First day, no rain. And you know what that did to the world? I knew it. I knew it. I brought my life vest just in case, but I knew that man was crazy. It's not even rain. Now, this is the third pool. When the door of the ark was closed by God, that was the third pool. When God stopped preaching to the church, that's the third pool. When nobody else can be saved, that's the third pool. See, the third pool ain't all good and happy and cookies and cake. Third pool's got a rough side to it. Noah's got the door closed by God. See, God is responsible for the third pool. It wasn't Noah. Noah had, his heart was that all men would be saved. He wanted everybody to get on board. But God said, time's up. God closed the door. As a matter of fact, Noah walked in and his family and the animals are in there. And he heard the door close. He said, who did that? He said, oh, God did. Now, think about this. If you ever thought, because we wonder sometimes, you know how we doubt. You know, we doubt our healing. We doubt our salvation. We doubt the body change. We doubt the rapture. Come on, y'all. Y'all don't make me look bad here. I'm like, I'm telling y'all too much. All right. Okay. I'm sitting here. I'm bearing all. And y'all just sitting there like, ooh. Ooh. Come on. Can I get a witness? Okay. Now I can tell you the rest of what I was going to say. Because y'all had me feel like, am I? Is my zipper down or something showing? Something. Y'all had me looking bad. Okay, now y'all with me again? Okay, when you're doubting, okay, and it does come, how much do you think Noah doubted all the way up until the door closed? The whole 120 years, Don, talked to himself. Are you sure God said that? Are you out of your mind? Are you just a drunkard? Did you drink too much? Is it a stupor? Did you imagine? And no, it's going on 120 years. But the day he walked in that door and it closed, because it was a big door. It's a heavy door. And he had plans on how he's going to close it. But when that door closed and Noah knew he didn't do it, all the doubt was gone. All the battling with Satan was over. But look, that's Noah. It made him stronger. He was more believer when that third pool hit him than anybody ever was. He would. When the third pull hits you, you become a real believer. Yes. And you don't worry about old Rabbi Jones. You don't worry about the church world. You don't worry about the traditions. You don't worry about all those things. You realize that God's in this thing. God's behind it. God closed the door. Noah, when he got in that ark and that door closed, he's like, okay. Yeah. All right. God, that was right on. That third pull makes you a believer. The first pull don't make you a believer. Second pull don't make you a believer. Everybody can do that, but can't nobody believe like a person who's in the third pull. Oh, when Noah heard that door close, you couldn't have told him that God wasn't going to rain. You couldn't have told him it wasn't going to happen. But look at the converse of this. On the outside, the church world, watching the same actions. They saw the first pull, the building of the ark. They saw the second pull. Noah preaching to it for 100. Noah, you've been saying the same thing for 120 years. Why don't you get another message? I keep coming to church and you keep saying the same thing. But when the door closed, they didn't get the same revelation Noah got. They saw the door close on the ark. They thought, well, that stuck old man. He done went and closed the door. And every day that it didn't rain, it made their unbelief stronger. You see what happens when the third pull makes the believer believe stronger, but the third pull also makes the unbeliever believe, disbelieve that much harder. Day one, they wore their life jacket, and it didn't rain. Day two, they wore it, but they didn't button it up. Day three, they had it on their shoulder. Because they're like, that crazy old man going to die in that hot boat. By day four and five, you couldn't have convinced them that it was going to rain. They were just as much convinced in the opposite as Noah was in the positive. You can't tell the church world that God's here. You can't tell the church world that he's left every denomination. You can't tell them because we've been sitting here. 60 years just sitting here, third pool on display. They're just as much out as we are in. We are sealed in and they are sealed out. So I got a scripture I want to read. Oh, listen to what Brother Brown said. I didn't finish that. But the third pool, when he was preaching to the lost that couldn't be saved anymore, they were down there with them big painted eyes. Oh, preach to those souls that are in hell. They didn't accept mercy, but were eternally separated from the presence of God. But yet, they had to recognize it, what he was, because God made him there. There are people who are eternally separated from God. They can never get a hold of God. They can never see God. They will never know God. They will never. As much as you know him, they don't even want to know him. Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's Jesus down here, part of his third pull. Because part of his third pull, remember I read you, was Acts 2. Remember his third pull was the upper room. All believers. Everybody was saved. Everybody was going. Not everybody was sealed in. Everybody had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Every one of them was invited to the show. Every one of them had their own little personal pillar of fire on them. Now here, let's look at the other side of this third pull. 1 Peter chapter 3. For Christ also had once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring unto us God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also, here it is, verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Whoa! Still talking about Noah. But this is the other side of the third pull. When that door closed, the third pull had an effect on everybody. You don't think it does, but it did. And do you know Jesus went to hell after he was crucified? He went to hell, and he preached to those souls that were in prison. The reason they were in prison, because they were on their way to the judgment, and there was no way for them to be saved. But You cannot send somebody to the judgment without first giving them an opportunity. So Jesus went to hell and preached to those souls. And while he preached, because see, the hell was divided into two sides. All the children of God went to one side of hell, and all of Satan's children went to the other side of hell. And Jesus, everybody that was on Jesus' side of hell, they were going to go with him. But before he could leave, he had to go over here and preach to them, because everybody's got to be preached to. It's got to be a witness. You can't judge somebody without a witness. So Jesus wandered over there to the hell side, the devil and his imps and all of his dominions and all those little demons and all those imps and just all that stuff is over there. And Jesus went over there and preached. Now, how would you not accept Jesus? You are sitting in hell. You see Abraham across the river, because I got scripture on that. Send Lazarus back and tell my brothers, don't come here. So they could see that there were some people over there eating grapes. They could see there's some people taken care of. There's an air-conditioned side of hell. And they're over here burning it up, sweating it out, smelly, just hanging out. No hope. With all those demons, everybody in the Bible, Cain and all of his kids, and all those Old Testament, Pharaoh and all those, they're all over there. Bad people. Bad people. Jesus went down there and preached to them, because he had to give them a chance. And how in the world, you sit here today, you'd say, well, if that were me, how in the world are they going to turn him down? It shows you that if you don't have a predestinated seed of God in you, you can't receive the word of God if Jesus himself come to you in hell.
Amen.
Not one of them was saved. Amen. Not one. Amen. But then Jesus went back over to the other side where Abraham was, and Isaac and Jacob and Adam and Eve and all of his children, all of his sons. He said, I got the key. Y'all want to go with me? I know hell's going to need to enlarge itself, because there's going to be a lot of bad people coming this way. So we need this room. So I got a place to go. And I told you that I got a place prepared for you. Y'all ready? And everybody on that side, every soul from Adam on down that was believing in God, every one of them said, I believe you. They all said, we recognize that voice. Abraham said, that's the one that I ate milk. It's like, that's the one I eat with. They're all like, well, I heard him. Moses said, that was that voice in that bush. Moses said, I saw the backside of you. They all recognized him. He didn't have to preach over there. He just said, y'all, come on, I'm keeping my word. Come on, let's go. And everybody that was predestinated, everybody that had a germ seed, and that does the third pull, pulling them out, and the third pull preached to the souls that were in prison. He took every one of them to the sixth dimension with him and lost not one. All that the Father hath given me will come. And I've lost not one, except for son of perdition. But that was on purpose, because I needed him to do the job. So see, God's got this. So the third pull actually preaches whether you open your mouth or not. I don't have to go out here in the world and tell them, this is the third pull. They wouldn't believe it anyway. I don't have to tell them the door's already closed. See, the only way you're coming in now is by predestination. We came in all the way through. But as far as God dealing with the church world, the door's closed. Redemption's over to the church, the building of the body. The bride's on her feet. She's here. She knows what it is. She is now in the middle of the third pool. The third pool's in her, and she's walking around the earth. And everywhere she goes, the third pool's moving. It's a testimony against the whole world. I don't have to. You know what I'm doing? I got. You know why I got this on the internet?
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
That's going around the world. Third pool going around the world. I don't have to go to every house. I don't have to go convert everybody. I'm putting it out there, and whosoever will, let him come. When God deals with you and you hear the word of God, it'll be what you need. But it's also a testimony against this world that's turned this down. There is no excuse. You got books. You got tapes. You got Bibles. You got internet. We can get hold of God. Just by the telephone now. He's walking around here in skin, and people don't even realize it. And they are just as far away from God as those people were standing on the seventh day outside of the ark. Third pull is on their hands. It's on this world's hands. But you know what, the bride, she's not afraid of that because she's like, this is exactly, I'm sealed in. Noah wasn't worried. Abraham wasn't worried. I'm not worried. The world's going downhill so fast, we can't even hardly keep up. News changes every 15 minutes. The thing that's the top story of the morning is not the top story at night. By the time we get to evening, this world's falling apart. And they don't know what to do with it. But you know what? This bride is standing here as a third pool, the final voice to the final age. She is the one who's out there knocking. And remember Revelation 3, Jesus is outside knocking. I'm not going to read it. I got it. He's outside knocking. And I'm glad he said, whoever wants to do this. It's not whoever wants to come. If you want to come and go with me, you can. If you want to be a part of this, you can. All you got to do is say, Lord, I believe that. That's nothing but the truth. And if you believe that, and you let that third pull come in your heart and your life, don't worry about this world condition. It'll take care of itself. You don't have to worry about the doubts. You don't have to worry about the trouble that you have in your mind and the world around you and all this stuff. Let it go. Do you think anybody that was in hell when Jesus came over there and preached to Abraham, do you think they worried about anything? Do you think they want to say, well, Lord, let me get this. I put these rocks over here, and I really like them. Can I take them with me? Oh, no, no, no. It's hell. You know, we don't want nothing different down here. Smoted rocks? You don't want that. Ain't worth nothing. I'm going to take you a place where you can walk on streets of gold.
Amen.
You're humming over these pieces of coal down here. Let's get out of here. Church, third pool on the scene.
Amen.
Oh, we see the signs. We see the first pool, second pool, even amongst us. We've seen the healings. We see God heal cancer. We see God heal sicknesses. During COVID, we lost not one. Remember, Paul told the children of Israel, he told them when they were on that boat, he said, just stay on board. If you stay on board, you'll all be saved. And that boat was rocking and rolling, and there was food falling off, and everything, boxes, everything going off. But they stayed on board, and their boat crashed. But they were all saved. We got in COVID, and I told y'all what God told me to tell y'all. Y'all did it, and y'all followed the instruction. I think I got sicker than anybody in this church. I'm sort of mad about that. But we did what we were supposed to do, and we made it through. Lord bless. Not to say that people who lost people with COVID were not following God. It's just I'm only responsible for 1744.
Amen.
And we made it through there. And we got sick. We got people sick. I think everybody here probably got sick. But they stayed on the ship. And we're still here. When we had to back buckle down to 10, we did it. When we had more people come, we did it. Now here we are. Look at us now. We're in here just rocking and rolling. God's with us. Third pool on the scene. God keeps his word with his people.
Amen.
He's promised us a body change. We've been waiting on this for 2,000 years.
Right.
And now we're down here, down the last 60. Yeah. And everybody's looking at us like, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Yeah. And you know those doubts that, those doubts that get in some people's mind. I won't look around because, you know, about that body change may not happen, you know. But you know what? When it happens, you just believe it. You just believe it. God ain't making you to say you got to do it. You just believe it. And when it happens, it's going to be just like the closing of that door on the ark. He ain't going to, there'll be no doubt. Satan won't have nothing to hold on you. He won't have nothing to put over your head. You just stay with the word. Stay with what God promised, because he's true to his promises. He will see you through. Third pull is on the scene. This body is here doing what it's doing, and there's a testimony against the whole world. And then when we're gone, they'll have the tapes. They'll have the books. They'll have the services, but it won't help them. It won't do them any good. But thank God for those three pulls. Thank God for this little room, because each one of us go in those little rooms. That little room, when and I got the quote here, I don't know, read it, save time, we got baptism. When you go in that little room, you walk in there, your sickness, your illness, your problems, your troubles, no matter what you've made of, what your background is, and God ain't worried about any of that. You just go in that room. Brother Branham said this woman in this vision he had, she was on a cart, and they rode her in this little room. And when she come out the other side, she was pushing the cart. God ain't worried about your problems. He's not worried about your background. He's not worried about your shortcomings. He said, but you don't know how bad I've been. You don't know how bad I've been. But you don't know how bad I am. You know how bad I am. God takes care of your past, present, and future sins. He's got it all covered. Don't worry about it. You just get in that little room. That third pull will pull you right in that little room. And when you get in there, all of your sicknesses will be gone. You'll walk out whole on the other side. And then I'll ask you what happened. You don't even know. You don't even know how it happened. You don't know what's happened. You just know what happened. They asked that blind man, said, what man, how'd he do that? I don't know. Don't you know he's a sinner? He may be. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. I don't worry about nothing now. God's got this thing under control. And we're in here, and we're preaching to the bride. This third pulls three things. It preaches to the bride. It preaches to the church. And it preaches to the total lost. It's doing all three of those things. There's people that are being preached to that are going to go through the tribulation, but they'll be safe because the foolish virgin are out there helping us out, doing their thing. That's their part. Oh, I have so much I could go into. I'm not going to today, but I'm just hitting the highlights because we got to get ready for baptism and we got to get ready for our afternoon meal. And we'll talk about this on some more Sunday night because that was part of the question somebody brought. I got it together. And oh, that was you? Yeah. And I got more to go with that. Yes. So maybe next Sunday night we'll talk some more on it. But amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the three pulls that you have displayed all throughout your Bible. How you showed us how that first pull drew the numbers. How the second pull brought the word on the scene and started preaching. And how the third pull, Lord, separated the bride from the unbelievers and preached us into a body change and a new birth. And the total lost received the same message, but they didn't receive it. They turned it down. There's people that don't want this, but Lord, I want this. I'm thankful that you said that I could be one of them. Ask you to be with us today, Lord. Just continue to bless. Have your way this afternoon. Those that are going to be baptized this afternoon, Lord, I pray that you'll bless them. Lord, we talked last week about repentance. The requirements is that we repent, followed by a water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that baptism, Lord, your word said that you shall be received. You shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a promise that you gave us. And Lord, we're looking for that promise with each of these candidates that's come this morning. Ask you, as they've already repented, that Lord, as they go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you will just be with them, Lord. Oh, some might even be coming because they just want to make sure that they got it right. Some may be coming because they've never been baptized before. But all have the same repentance. They all repent for their sins. Repent knowing that, Lord, I want to do the right thing. And that's why they come this morning. So we ask you to, Lord, bless them. Continue to touch Jay and Trevor and the different ones. The needs are great around the world. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless your bride. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Jeremiah. Oh, there you are. You want to do it? You want me to do it?
I got it. And let's have Daisy go in here, and she'll come out first, and we'll have Brother Warren and Brother Mike
in
here.
Okay. And somebody will go help Daisy.
Pastor Warren, I have a special prayer request to my
Yes.
My sister-in-law is up for open heart surgery on the 27th of August. So please remember her in prayer, saints.
And Brother John, you wanted a cloth today, didn't you? Come on up. We'll get you a prayer cloth. You want one, Clarice?
Yes.
I remembered. Now she said that I remembered. I'd forgotten, but she said that. I thought, oh, John wanted one. Anybody else? Okay. All things are possible, only believe. Yes, only believe. Yes, only believe that all things are possible, only believe. Yes, only believe. Yes, only believe that all things are possible if you only believe. Heavenly Father, we come before you this afternoon. Lord, we believe your word.
Yes.
And your word said, by your stripes we are healed. And Lord, in the Bible, it said that they took the aprons of the disciples and they cut them up.
Yes.
And they took those aprons and those strips of material to the sick, to the needy. And they were touched and healed. And Lord, we've seen you do this in many occasions here. And Father, as we send these cloths forth, we send your word with it. You said, by your stripes we're healed, and we believe that. We expect you to move as you've always moved. And we'll ask you to just touch in these different requests. The heart issue, Lord.
Jesus.
The sickness, Father. Yes. Ask you to move. Thank you for all you've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yes, Jesus is here. Yes, Jesus is here. And all things are possible, for Jesus is here. Yes, Jesus is here. Yes, Jesus is here. Now all things are possible, for Jesus is here.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for everything you've done for us.
Yes.
We got Sister Daisy here, Lord. She wants to be baptized. She's heard your word, Lord, and she saw where you said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask that you bless her.
Do it, Lord.
Bless her life, Lord. Bless her she goes to school. Bless her at home. Let her be a light to her brothers and sister.
Yes, Lord.
Let her be a light to her school world, Lord, and continue to strengthen and grow up here in your church. We thank you for Sister Daisy. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. Sister Daisy, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Bible says, repent and be baptized. You say, well, why are you dipping them in water like that? That's scriptural. When Jesus went to the river, you just need to let them get through. They don't have to go back. They just need to get through. Jesus told them, John, I have need to be baptized. Said it has to be washed. The sacrifice has to be washed. And when he told the disciples, he said, baptize me, baptize in my name, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's only one name that he was talking about. That was a name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ, the one name under heaven whereby men must be saved.
Amen.
And so now we baptize people as they did all through the Bible. No one in the Bible is baptized in any other name but the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we do what we do, as Acts said to do.
Right.
Oh, there he is. It's like, where is it?
God bless Brother Warren.
Amen. Yeah, y'all can move in closer.
All
right. I just needed to get through.
All right. We're thankful for Brother Warren. Dear Lord, thank you for Brother Warren here, Lord. He wants to get baptized again, Lord, and we thank you for his example, Lord. He heard the word where it says, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God bless our brother, Lord. We ask that you continue to bless him, Lord. Continue to strengthen him and at home and at work, Lord. Be with him.
Yes, Lord.
And let him continue to grow in the knowledge and understanding of the Lord. Thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. Amen. Brother Warren, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can go. Well, you can go to that room if you want. God bless our young people.
Amen.
You know, sometimes people want to be baptized because they want to make sure that they got it done right. And it's better to be safe than sorry, like Brother Childers says. I don't want any gate trouble when I get there.
Stand up here. All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we've got Brother Mike is standing here, Lord, and we appreciate our brother. Lord, he's been testifying for you and singing for you and worshiping you, Lord, and he's heard your word. It says, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, I want to do that, Lord, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we ask that you bless our brother.
Yes, Lord.
Continue to grow him in his word, Lord. Continue to let him get out of the way and yield to you and do what you have for him to do in this life. Thank you for Brother Micah, and God bless him. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Micah, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That's the order. Repent, be baptized, and the rest of it's up to God. Amen. Giver of Life, page 33, in a key of G. Restore my joy today. Amen. Giver of Life, breathe on my soul today. Let your spoken word cast out my sins. Revive this piece of clay. Restore to me the joy that you have given. Place my mind on things you've established in heaven. Let me worship you in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. Giver of life, oh, giver of life, breathe on my soul today. Oh, let your spoken word cast all my sin, revive this piece of clay. Restore to me the joy that you have given. Place my mind on things established in heaven. Let me worship you in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth.